The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the fields, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all of these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Fear and worry are at an all-time high in America. Polls seem to show over and over again that a majority of Americans worry about being a victim of a terrorist attack or crime. Today, it's not far from our consciousness as we remember the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 15 years ago. And even though overall crime rates are down, the sense of disorder is relentless. Mass shootings are commonplace. Violent protests are routine. Global warming is accepted. And politicians on all sides have tapped into these worries and used them to sway our votes here coming up to the election in November. And then on top of all of these societal fears, we have our day-to-day fears of life. We wonder, am I hitting the mark at work? Am I failing as a parent? Will my body even make it to retirement at this rate? Have I made the right investments for my future? Am I even happy? We worry, we're anxious, and we're afraid. In today's gospel, Jesus responded to this fear and worry very clearly. Jesus began by saying, "Do not worry about your life." We might think, well, Jesus, that's easier said than done, right? Come on now. You don't live in 21st century Chicago. Things are hard. And I have to imagine that the disciples thought that same thing as well, right? Come on, Jesus. You from another world? What is going on? But then Jesus says, consider. Consider the ravens and consider the lilies. Now, the word translated here from Greek as consider also means to perceive or discern distinctly or clearly. Or it also means to understand or observe. And in the midst of our worry and fear, how often do we stop to consider? Do we ever stop to observe and understand something so seemingly unrelated as the lilies and the ravens? In the midst of our fear, do we take a step back to look larger? Often I don't. When I'm caught up in the cycle of worry, I have my blinders on. I'm focused on one particular thing. And it only leads me down a rabbit hole and a spiral of more worry and fear. Yet here in today's gospel reading, Jesus says, consider. Consider the flora and the fauna. And with that, Jesus is emphasizing an important point and principle. Here, he is reminding us of the ways that creation can work for us in the sense that they can help self-decenterize us. Creation can be self-decentering. Now, often in our world, we view creation as self-serving or as something that we can use for our own gain. We look at a forest as raw material and riches. We see cattle as hamburgers and hides. Animals are slaughtered for their tusks or their shells, or even for sport. We view animals and plants as a means to another end, but we rarely, if ever, view them as something intrinsically valuable. And it doesn't take but a stroll down a grocery store aisle or a visit to a department store to see the truth of our addiction. Today's readings, however, open up our minds to consider something new. Jesus reminds us of God's provisions and care for all things. And I think it's challenging to find ways to live in harmony and to learn from creation. And so, too, in our reading from Job, we were pushed to embrace a theology of creation. As Leah Shad puts it, Job is challenging us to see a theology where animals are not just passive receptors of God's grace, but where they actively do God's work with their very existence. Yet humankind often fails to recognize that intrinsic value of animals and plants on earth. But it's Thomas Berry who notes that the role of the church is to help humanity establish ourselves in a single integral community, including all component members of planet Earth. This necessitates that humans come to see our role in the universe as completely dependent on Earth's flora and fauna. It calls us to recognize a value of creation that does not depend on human needs and wants, but instead, our first move, the very first move we need to do, is accept a more limited role in our interactions. And after we accept our limited role, then we work to create continuity between human and non-human aspects of life in everything that we do, in our activities, in our institutions, and in our operating principles. In these two moves, Barry sees a hope for the planet and a hope for human survival. Now, if you're anything like me and the rest of the world, this merged boundary between plants and animals and humanity sounds like complete foolishness. To consider all plants and animals as valuable is to embrace an animal ethic activism. It is to value our interconnectivity with all of creation, and quite frankly, it feels absurd. Yet, this is what Paul is referring to in 1 Corinthians. He implores that there be no divisions among you. He pleads for unity of mind and purpose. He reminds us that the cross appears as foolishness to the world. You see, the wisdom of the world is not the wisdom of God. To be together as one people, to be gathered as all of creation, and to recognize the value of all things is foolishness to the world. The world's wisdom draws divisions. The world's wisdom values riches and casts down the poor. The world lifts up success at any given cost and laughs at creation and compassion. The world's wisdom prioritizes humanity's desires to the detriment of earth. Yet, consider the lilies. Consider the ravens. Do not be fearful. Be foolish. Embrace God's wisdom of love and unity. For God's wisdom lifts up the poor and sends the rich away empty. The wisdom of God values compassion and challenges unbridled success. God's wisdom holds all creation as complementary and treasured. Do not fear. Consider foolishness. These are the two action items of our reflection for this week. First, we embrace Jesus' words, do not fear. And with that, we remove those blinders, we tone down our anxiety, and we remember God's gift of love, so that then we might open ourselves to something new. And then we consider. We educate ourselves. We open our eyes to see something new. And the planning team for this season of creation has worked hard each Sunday to help you open your mind to consider something new. In this space, we try to begin that journey today. And behind me is a tapestry entitled Red Trees. In the words of the artist, this piece conveys a sense of loss. It's also that dynamic relationship between humans and the natural world, and the hope born of persistence. You see, these different red squares of cloth were placed over abandoned trees, the stumps left from those trees after the land was clear-cut. The sun bleached these cloths for a year before the artist collected them, and then she took those impressions of those different tree stumps and created a reminder of the vulnerability and the value of all living things. And today, we also gather to remember the endangered species across the globe, some familiar and some unknown that we heard read in our call to worship. We learn of them also through the candles on the back table, where names are written and dates of their extinction are. These candles remind us of the light of Christ in all living things. The candle reminds us of our baptism, the same baptism Sawyer had today, where we are filled with the light of Christ. And so then these candles remind us that we are called to follow Christ's example, to be that foolish light of hope in the world. And then today, my friends, you are sent into the world. You go to respond to what you've learned and to grow in faith and love. And maybe your response will look like taking an intentional meat Sabbath, just one day each week, just one day of a meat Sabbath. And when you take that meat Sabbath, maybe you'll pause to give thanks and to acknowledge the many lives given for your food. You might also find new ways to use your money by purchasing 100% recycled paper to prevent deforestation. Or maybe you'll walk by the farmer's market on your way home and purchase local produce and animals that you know were cared for with compassion. So there it is. There it is today, friends. Sure, there's a lot of fear in this world. Worry runs wild. Yet do not fear. Consider the lilies. Consider the ravens. You are loved. So open your eyes up to something bigger. Find ways to foolishly live out the gospel of the cross. And then live into God's wisdom. The wisdom of unity and love. And then get out into the world and respond by letting your baptismal light shine. Amen.